How are we all? Don't answer me all at once. There's nodding heads. We're good. That's good. So we're in the book of Jeremiah. If you've got your Bibles with you, you could turn to Jeremiah 18, and we're reading from verses 1 to 4. This might be a passage fairly familiar to us, but this is what it says. This is a word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. The message of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the house of Israel came through an object lesson and a metaphor. And this is the scripture that emerged and came to the forefront as I prepared to bring this message today. For me, it speaks to the fact that when we come to prayer, we're so often in a bit of a hurry to see God change things quickly, seemingly instantly. It's not that he can't do that, of course. It's just that the potter's hand, God's hand, needs sometimes a little more time to work and create what he has in mind, because he is working out of a full knowledge and a full wisdom about the circumstances that will benefit us and all those around us. Change of this kind takes time. It's the message that follows on from Kate's message last week, which was about obstacles to prayer, but then those becoming opportunities in prayer. We pray at all, don't we? Because we believe that God exists. And so when we pray, we believe that he cares enough to respond to us as we seek him in prayer. And we pray with all kinds of prayers and requests, don't we? About situations and circumstances that we would like to see changed. Often encompassing the lives of others that we feel will be somewhat to our benefit on occasion, but I hope also to theirs. However, what we can miss and overlook in our prayerfulness is what God is doing by bringing about change in us as we pray. And that's really what I want to focus on this afternoon. The religious people of Jesus' day were expecting their Messiah to come and to change the externals of life, to deal to the Roman occupation, to take them out by force. But Jesus came to bring another kind of kingdom, and he pointed this out to his hearers when he said that the kingdom of God is within you. God establishes himself first in our hearts, and then he transforms and renews us in our minds to be people that are fit to live in the kingdom that he is bringing to this earth that has begun and is continuing to be established, both here on earth and here in 2022 and beyond, and of course when Jesus returns to the earth. And so as we live our lives in surrender to the rule and reign of Jesus, it enables us to learn how to please God, being informed and directed by his Spirit in our prayers. Prayer, though, is not getting in touch with our true selves, as it is understood by some. It is rather the practice of shifting our preoccupation with ourselves towards an attentiveness and a responsiveness to God. It is a deliberate act on our part to walk away from the me-centered way of life that we may have to the Christ-centered way of life that he's calling us into. To use the metaphor about prayer, we need to continually beat the path down to the potter's house. And in prayer, place the lump of clay of our life before God in the Master's hands to mould and shape us as he pleases. Jesus' invitation is this, to come away with him and to recover our lives with him. He shows us how to rest in him, and when we walk with him and work with him, we need to be attentive to what he is actually doing. Together with him, we will find that we're able to learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and these enable us to live freely and lightly. Understanding who we are in relationship to the Master Potter enables us to have a teachable spirit. No servant, after all, is greater than his master. As Isaiah says, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Or does your work say he has no hands? Our attempts to pray can often feel half-baked and faltering. But as we endeavour to turn from ourselves towards God, we will find increasingly that he gives us a fluency in prayer as he leads us. I don't know if, like me, you've had the opportunity to do any pottery. Maybe those pinch pots that we did at school, an ashtray for mum in my case. Quite useful for her actually at the time. To actually sit at a potter's wheel and to create a pot is quite a thing. And if you are being taught by someone, as I was recently, to do this, you need to be attentive to your teacher. You need to listen to what they are saying and watch what they are doing. And of course, when you watch the teacher and observe what they're doing, it looks so easy, doesn't it? I mean, it is just, it's quite mesmerizing to see how they take that ill-formed lump of clay and then they bring it up in a cylindrical, smooth vessel right before your eyes. And then they say, come on, guy, now it's your turn. And so you sit down at the wheel, and then it dawns on you that this is not that easy after all. In fact, it's quite challenging as you try to centre the lump of clay, following it round like this, rather than having your hands set as it steadily obeys your command. In fact, you might say that the clay seems to have a mind of its own. And such it is for us, the struggle in prayer, as we seek to have the mind of Christ in our prayers. Oh, no. Well, yes, one day. I'll bring that in sometime, the result of my creativity. How often it is that we find that our minds drift off to something completely unrelated, well, me at least, when my intention was to pray with all my heart and mind to God about something. Or I might find myself going off in an unexpected direction in prayer, and then I have a sense of its unproductive nature and stop because I know that it's not going in the right place. Fortunately, like the clay, if I remain on the wheel, then there's still an opportunity for the Maker to recreate and centre me again around his plans and purposes. It's a bit like the challenge I had in my workplace some years ago. Not in this vocation. There are no challenges with people here. But in this particular workplace, it was a challenging environment. And it wasn't just one person. It was, as I think about it, quite a lot of people. But what I found was that it was a great opportunity to pray, because the the grit, the irritation that some of these relationships were causing brought me to my knees. And it's interesting the kind of prayers that we pray at those times. It's the sort of change them prayers, which aren't necessarily that effective. But it seems I persisted for some time on that line before I realised that maybe this was not what God was up to, as I was a bit more attentive to the unfolding situation. So God was not necessarily changing them as I anticipated. God hadn't even kind of moved them on as I hoped they might do to another place of work. No, it seemed like that God was wanting to do something else. And so over a period of time, my prayers changed and they became prayers of blessing, of asking for things to go well for those people, for their lives to flourish and be, that they would somehow discover the goodness of God too. So did those people change? Well, yes, they did a little bit. Although I found the change mainly occurred in me. And therefore, how I reacted and responded to them changed. And of course, that then changed the atmosphere. It shifted the atmosphere. It didn't shift them to another job. It changed the way in which I interacted with them. And it was through prayer that God had changed the situation. But it really began with me. It began by me allowing the Spirit to lead and change me. And I think we should all marvel at God and the way that He is able to do this through Christ to change us. Because we're all like that marred piece of clay, aren't we, in God's hands. But such is His skill that He's able to take our misshapen lives and reform them into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Allowing this reforming and this reshaping of our hearts and minds in prayer at times can be an uncomfortable process, can't it? And it may take lead us to being reluctant to even place ourselves fairly and squarely in the hands of God, preferring perhaps that He would just kind of leave us alone, just how we are, because we like it that way, don't we? But God loves us too much to leave us just as we are. Thank goodness, thank God. And so He reaches out to us, into our lives, into our skewered loyalties and misunderstandings, and He reshapes and remolds us in the likeness of Jesus. And those obstacles, when brought to God in prayer, become tremendous opportunities for the Master Potter's hands to skillfully bring about the changes necessary in us, in our hearts, to align them with God's own heart and purposes and plans. So over time, Christ-centered and shaped prayers will bring surprising insights. And as I've been thinking about my own life in prayer, I've been pondering this verse about the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And as I've meditated on this verse, I've wondered about authentic prayer and how it relates to this transformational process, this work of God by the Spirit in my life. And I've begun to see another aspect of prayer that I may have not otherwise understood from this verse. And that is the work of the Spirit forming Christ in me as I pray. What does this look like? Well, for me, it's looked like some of the challenges I have with fear and the way in which God is able to bring peace. And with that peace, He brings joy, and that joy becomes my strength in Him. Or it may be that a situation that I've been praying about seems just not to shift or change over a period of time. And so I discover that God is faithful, that He's in it for the long haul with me, for the person that I may be praying for, or even myself perhaps occasionally or especially, that I may have the hope of change myself when I struggle so much in that area. The kind of authenticating things that we should be looking for from our prayers are these kinds of results. They should manifest themselves in our lives as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's his work in us as we partner with him and we become part of what he's doing. The Message Bible puts it this way: he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does. The work he has got ready for us to do, work we'd better be doing. Again, this reminds us that we have purpose over our lives. God has the power and the means, and he invites us, all of us, his people, to participate with him. How awesome is that? Bob Dylan on the album Saved sang these words: "I've been broken, shattered like an empty cup, and I'm waiting on the Lord to fill me up." Prayer is an essential part of this being rebuilt and filled up. As we let go of things in prayer, we needn't fear that God will leave us empty, but rather it is he who is fashioning us into useful vessels on this earth for his purpose, clay pots if you like, and he fills them to overflowing with treasures from heaven that will benefit all around us. Dylan also later sings with assurance these words: "And I know that he will do it because he's faithful and true." As we center our lives and our prayers and lives on and in Christ, we're told in Ephesians that God has us right where he wants us to be, with all the time in this world to shower us with the grace and the kindness that are found in Jesus Christ. The whole tenor of the book of Ephesians, in fact, is that God has stooped down and he has reached out to us, and he is now shaping purpose and meaning back into our lives, giving us resurrection life. Just like the clay on the potter's wheel, he's forming us and transforming us into something of great value and purpose in his eyes. Again, this is how the Message Bible puts it: saving is all his idea, all his work. All we do is trust in him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. None of us make ourselves or save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. While Christ works with each of us as individuals, his desire is far more reaching than that, because he has in mind to call a people by his name in Christ, a body of believers, that our identity is shaped by living together in his story as a community of faith. It is a church, as a church, our understanding of who we are together, that we find a new vocabulary given to us in Ephesians when we read, "In Christ, we are a new humanity." There's not much me in that. In Christ, we are a new household. In Christ, we are a holy temple. In Christ, we are a dwelling place for God. And all our relationships are to be formed on this paradigm of Jesus Christ, of being in Christ, within our marriages, within our households and families, and out within our wider communities. And with this in mind and informed by the scriptures, our prayers start to take on a different sound and a different shape. One of Cornerstone's church's core values is authenticity, that we would be a people who are characterized by authentic prayer, that we would stand together in prayer for one another and with one another, desiring God's will and purpose for each, God's peace and comfort, God's power and strength for one another. In the gathering together, the enduring, the patience, the grace and the love, and doing this as a church fulfills his purpose. It demonstrates to the world what we're about or what God is about, and it also demonstrates to the heavenly forces and the dark forces in the heavenly realm what God's power in prayer looks like. We long to be a church who fulfills her purpose in God, and we can do this when we pray together. We're now going to take time to prepare ourselves to remember the basis on which all of this has been made available to us, the riches of Christ that are found on this table. So let's come to the communion table as we usually do, but let's come with a sense of joy about the fact that we share this table together, that we have been given this new humanity, this resurrected life, which has been won by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. So why don't we come now and... just retain the elements as you return to your seats, and then I'm going to have Kate pray for us. This is a prayer from Ephesians, which was crafted by someone who really knew how to live a Christ-centered life.
So my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. And I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes.